Lessons from the late Parshas Toldos. This is it. It's been a delayed opening. We're supposed to teach you guys on Sunday, didn't work out, and then Monday didn't work out. Now all I got is Shir Ben. This is all I have. I have to rely only on you, and I want to speak about a very important topic, a topic that I think very much relates to everyone in the world, but specifically to you guys, and that's the topic of Tefillah. And the Parsha opens up with this. Parsha opens up, on one hand, telling us, Ve'elu toldos Yitzchak ben Avram, Avram hodleh this Yitzchak. Ve'yi Yitzchak ben Avram shana. He was 40 years old. He is, of course, married to Rivka, Bas Pesuel ha'arami, Mipadim ma'aram, Achos lovan ha'arami, Lodi Isha. Ve'atar Yitzchak, la'Hashem, le'noach ishto, ki akarahi. Ve'yatar lo, Hashem, mitir Rivka ishto. And here he is, not able to have children, something he knows because he heard the story about his mom. And we'll learn, of course, all the imos are barren. So Yitzchak has this very interesting lashon ve'yitar. He entreats the Ribbono Shalom. If you look in a few years ago's lessons from the late, we speak about dafka, about this word, what it means from the Gemara, I think in Brachos. And he stands opposite his wife and he pours out his heart because she was barren. And interesting enough, the pasuk says, Ve'yatar lo Hashem, and Hashem listened to him, and his wife had a baby. We learned that both of them were sitting there and davening in two corners of the room, and we can imagine this tefillah. It's very, very difficult to understand the tefillah of those that can't have children. So it should pour our heart out. We should daven for this every day for people who can't have children. 40 years old. And it seems like, not seems like, the pasuk clearly says, who did Hashem listen to? Yitzchak. What about Rivka? Also.
What were they doing up until this point?
Very good. Good question. The Rashi tells us, Harbe hivtzir b'tfilah. They were really working on it. And it doesn't mean that they did it, but I think I have an answer to your question. Wait a moment. So he says, Rashi famously says, Kol lashon atar lashon hifritzu v'irbuhi. Rashi makes a very, very interesting comment. Sarah was 90 when she had Yitzchak. Of course, she laughed. She couldn't believe it. She laughed basically because we might have said this last week, I think from Rav Bitterman. She laughed because when the Malach told her she's going to have a baby, you know what she said? It can't be. Number one, she wasn't barren like we think barren means. She had no physical... She didn't have a womb. But Rav Bitterman quotes, I forgot who says that Sarah laughed because she said that it's only my tefillah that can work. This Gemara says this. An individual, based on the Sfarno he quoted, the Sfarno said that the tefillah of an individual is so powerful that you have to believe that only I can change the situation. He said, a malach? There's only two people who can change things. The Ribbono Shalom, not a people, but the Ribbono Shalom and me. Who are you? Okay, Hashem sent this malach. She didn't realize that. And now, we learn this very interesting case. Because here she is. Now, Rivka, of course, as I said, learned from the mother-in-law, she never learned what happened to how her husband was born. And now the same thing happens again. Now, Rashi tells us, why is it that Yitzchak's tefillah was listened to over Rivka? Doesn't make sense. So he writes, Ve'itar lo, lo, lo meaning Yitzchak, v'lo la, Hashem listened to him and not her. She'ein doyim tefillat tzaddik ben Rasha, the tefillat tzaddik ben tzaddik. Lefichach, Gemara and Yuvamos, Daf Sadek Dalet, Lefichach lo velo la. It's very difficult for me to learn this Rashi, to understand this Rashi. Rashi's basically saying to us that obviously Rabbanu Shalom listened to the tefillah of Yitzchak because Yitzchak's tefillah was more pure. Because he would tzadik ben tzadik. We said this morning, Baruch Atah Hashem, Magen Avram, Zchus Avos. What else did he need? Boom. Why do I have a problem with this? So now every person who's a Baal Tshuva says, my tefillah doesn't mean anything. And excuse me for saying, everybody in this room is a Baal Tshuva, including myself. We all have gotten better of who we are. Baruch Hashem, I'm sure our parents are tzaddikim, thank God. But come on now. Your parents are not Avraham Avinu. What does it make us think? It's a difficult one, no? The fact is, Yitzchak now goes back to the place that he originally was. Yitzchak realizes the power of the Makom HaMikdash. The Pirkei Rabbi Elazar says, where was this happening? This actually happened back on Har HaMoriah, on Har HaBayis. The same place of Akedas Yitzchak. And he said, ooh, honey, I got to take you somewhere. This is special. Maybe the delayed in time and saying, okay, I know we've been davening until now, but theirs is a special place called Har HaBayis. The tefillahs of Har HaBayis, yeah. Amazing. But Yitzchak understood Har HaBayis better than anybody else. We're also told that when Yitzchak first meets his wife, and he's lasuach basadeh, we actually call the sadeh also Har HaBayis. He was back in that place because he said, wow, this place is filled. By the way, that's one of the reasons we learned this from Avraham Avinu, that a person should have a makom kavu. You're very, very fortunate. Although a lot of you get mad sometimes on Shabbos when somebody takes your seat. Wow, I've heard you took my seat. Stop it. I don't have a seat in the basement. What do you want me to do? Because you have a makom kavu. That's 100% true. I remember years and years ago, I'm a little bit of a jokester, but when Beth Abraham first opened their shul, so Rav Neuberger, there was a problem in the beginning. There wasn't enough seats, Baruch Hashem, for when they opened. There was so many people that came. So, you know, you had this usual situation where in the morning, it used to be davening started at 8:45. People were getting there at like 8:15 to make sure they had a seat. And the guy would come, and he's like, come on, this is my seat. I got, you know, I got my towels bag is here from last night, you know, come on. So he said that it can't be that the same Avraham Avinu who taught us Makom Kavua, who was the Ish Chesed, said you should try to kick somebody out of a seat. It can't be. Anyway, I went up to him afterwards. I go, this is a beautiful speech, Rav. I don't think you get it so much because you have a makom kavua right at the front of the rabbi's seat. Nobody's taking your seat. You know, you don't understand what it is when you come on time to shul and some guy's sitting in your seat. But Yitzchak understood because of what a kedas Yitzchak was. But there's something more here to explain and not to make the Balei Tshuva feel bad. So Rav Goodman, Rav Yitzchak Meir Goodman, I always have loved his sefer, There Shall Be Light. Pretty sure it's out of print. He was the Rav of the Young Israel of Farakwe for many years. He actually taught in Frisch for many years. And most notably, he has Haskama for my Rebbe, Rav Aaron Salvechik, which we won't quote him, we'll quote his son in a moment. And I remember meeting him. It was my grandfather's Shiva. He came to pay a shiva call, and I said, I love your sefer. I was a little kid then. I think I was still in high school. And he said to me, wow. No, couldn't be. It was must have been after. And I said to him, wow. And he said to me, I'm a Talmud of Aaron Salvechik. He goes, oh, he also liked my sefer. He wrote Haskama. So he says something beautiful. He says like this. He said, before his bar mitzvah, he had the schus of going to the tish. His father took him to the tish of the Blujova Rebbe. Blujova Rebbe was an unbelievable individual, survivor of the Holocaust of the Yisrael Spira. And the Blujova Rebbe said, there's no way Rashi was trying to denigrate a Baal Tshuva. Can't be. In terms of tefillah, specifically is what Rashi is speaking about. Because do you know what true tefillah is, Rabbi Yisai? True tefillah is when I surrender myself to the Rabbanu Shalom without any strings attached. I don't go ahead and daven for the chayla and say, Ribbono Shalom, I only rely on you, rely on you. And in the back of my mind, I'm thinking about Dr. So-and-so, Dr. So-and-so, Dr. So-and-so, and should work out with this doctor and that doctor. And sometimes our tefillahs are that, and they're normal tefillahs. There's no problem with this. Please, Hashem, let us get it. I can't even hear in Eretz Yisrael, so let me at least get an appointment with the top doctor. And it could be that you won't go to the top doctor. You go to the not top doctor, and the Rebbe Shalom will still help you out. A person's in legal trouble. This lawyer, this is the only lawyer. It's Rebbe Shalom that can get you out. Doesn't mean you don't do a shtadlus. But ultimately, the highest level is surrendering ourselves to the goodness of the Rebbe Shalom. To feel worthless, entirely worthless, dependent on the Rebbe Shalom. Mimahamakim kirasicha Hashem. The depths, from the lowest place I call out to you, because there's nobody else I can worry on. As we say in Ashrei, Soymech Hashem l'chol ha'noiflim. It's that person that is in the depth of the depth, the worst of the worst, the ultimate Balei Tshuva, right? He's done the worst possible thing. The Rabbeinu Shlomo says, you are really calling out to me? Asheyu k'u b'emes, as the next pasuk says. You really believe it's just me? Here you go. I'll pick you up. But the Blushever said that it's even the smallest spark of pride that can taint a person's tefillah. Look at Rivka and what she came from. The ultimate balas tshuva. Do you have any idea who her parents were? We spoke about last week the idea, yes, it's true that she had amazing midos. The family was known for midos, but they were a rishayim. Lavan? Right? We're going to learn a little bit later, right? Lavan, terrible. What a horrible person. His name came from being a milaben. He was a horrible person. He was so dishonest at his core. She came from that? So you don't think for one second she said to herself, come on, Hashem, how can you not give me a baby? You know what I did for you? I ran away from the place I lived. Talk about lecha chal mi'artzecha. You know how much better I am than then? You know how the influence I had in the neck? I didn't go to all the parties. Everybody had parties. I didn't do that. Come on, Hashem, answer my tefillos. That's a mistake. It's a mistake when we come to the Rebbeinu Shalom and saying, well, Rebbeinu Shalom, you're not going to answer my tefillah? I came back Shabbat. I wasn't going to come back, and then I came back, and then the dead, and then I showed up a little bit late, but I came. How can you not answer my tefillahs? Person goes to Vasikin on a Thursday night after staying up all night. And he says to the Rebbeinu Shalom, no offense, but I could get whatever I want now. I stayed up. Rebbeinu Shalom, I've been up for 24 hours. You owe me. That's not tefillah. That's not tefillah. Tefillah is changing ourselves to realize there's only one person to rely upon. And any talent that I have is because of Hashem. This week marks my anniversary. I actually changed my flight because I want to spend time with my wife on the anniversary. I'm not sure if my wife does, but I want to. It's 23 years, I believe. Hopefully I got that right if she listens. And my wife has some amazing midos. Hopefully she's not going to listen to this because she's going to kill me for saying this. But I realized one of those great midos today. Today, the last few days. Unfortunately, I didn't teach you on Sunday because I had an appointment I had to go to. And after that appointment, I picked up a new car that we got. We haven't had a new car in 13 years. And 13 years ago, we got the car because like, we needed a car. So this car is a little bit different, Rabbi Isai. This car is a electric car. It's a fancy car, AI ways, and da-da-da. And for the first time in my life, except when I was in high school and I drove my uncle's 1977 Corvette, people are looking at me. I got stopped by a firefighter today, and he called me a gever. Gever! Maze yeshachar! And my wife is beside herself. She says, it's not good. Gashmis, it's not good. It's Gashmis. What do we need this for? And all the kids are excited. It's got a sunroof. We never had a sunroof in our life. You know, my son said, Abba, you know what this reminds me of? He said, it reminds me of when I went in, my boss let me drive his Lexus SUV up to camp. It's like the Lexus, you know? And I was like, oh, you're there. Because ultimately, my wife realizes that everything comes with a Rabbanu Shalom. And maybe it's not so good to be so showy. It's very hard for us to not say, well, it's kind of my talents is why I came to where I am today. I'm successful because of who I am. I'm the best doctor. I'm the best investor because I know the tricks of the trade. The reason why I'm the one who predicted that Tesla would go up the way that it did. Right? Yep. My son's bar mitzvah. Years and years ago. My army son who just had his Masa Kumta. So, okay. Thank you. Really, I finally made Aliyah, I believe, after 13 years. This was like the real Aliyah. It's a beautiful experience. So at his bar mitzvah, one of my friends came up to him, he's in investments, and he said, you have two choices. I can give you whatever it was, $100, or X amount of stock in this penny stock called Tesla. And I said to my son, Tesla, electric cars. My son's birthday was yesterday, so happy birthday to him. 21 years ago, right? It was nothing. That's 13 minus 13, right? So it was nothing, right? What was it? I was wrong. I'm sorry, Yaakov. But ultimately, everything comes from the Rabbanu Shalom. It's interesting. Rav Goodman points out that the Gemara in Tana says that a chazan should be someone who has lifelong stellar conduct. It seems like the Gemara is saying that my tefillah is better than that of a Balei Tshuva. That if I am a tzaddik ben tzaddik, my tefillah is better. The same thing we just said. So we can understand why, maybe according to the Blush of Rebbe. Do you understand that when Avram got up there, when Yitzhak got up there, he did not rely on his father. Because you know what his father taught him? His father taught him that you do not rely on tzchus avos. You don't understand in the morning where we say, okay, Avram, Yitzhak, Yaakov. We're not going to the Rabbanu Shalom and saying, no, we're saying to the Rabbanu Shalom, just like the avos in the 10th test, Avram didn't say, God, you have to make me succeed now because look what I did in 9, 8, 7, 6, 5, all those tests. No. He said, I don't deserve anything in the Rabbanu Shalom. And he offered Re'efer. So he says that he was in Yerushalayim a good number of years ago, Rav Goodman and Rav Yosef ben Rav Aaron Soloveitchik. Rav Yosef Dov Soloveitchik is the son of Rav Aaron. He has a yeshiva. I see him often at the Kotel. He used to have a yeshiva called realbrisk.com. Real Brisk, it was called. The Real Brisk. It's the Brisk in Yerushalayim, which is quite a popular yeshiva. But he called himself the Real Brisk. So he said there, Rav Yosef Dov Shlita said that the Gemara is only implying rejecting a chazan who repents later in life. Because according to the Rambam, he's not able to repent in the appropriate place because he's not Ba'osom Mokom Ba'osom Shah. He's too old to go back to the sin. He has to be challenged by that. That's just an idea. But the core, I think, is a very beautiful comment. And it's the comment of really believing in our tefillah and not relying on anything else and who we are and where we are. And that's a very, very important thing. Tefillah is an expression of devotion to the Rabbanu Shalom. We negate everything else and we rely only on the Rabbanu Shalom. That's the essence of tefillah. My essence melts away and I entreat myself to the Rabbanu Shalom. A tzaddik who davens to Hashem doesn't think of himself. He's beseeching the Almighty because of others. That's amazing. The difference between Yitzchak and Rivka was huge. You know why? Because Rivka clearly, obviously, was davening for herself, and Yitzchak was not davening for himself. He was davening for his wife. Wow. Famous story. Chaim Shmulevitz, Rav Ari Levine. Chaim Shmulevitz tells the story, I think. Rav Ari Levine goes to the doctor with his wife. His wife had a very bad problem with her leg. And the doctor says, what's wrong? And before she could answer, he said, our leg hurts us. Yishtek a gufo. The reason why the tefillah of Yitzchak was answered was because Yitzchak wasn't doing it for himself. Of course, Yitzchak wanted a child. Like Avraham Avinu wanted a child. He wanted somebody to take over this amazing job that we had. But when tefillah is for someone else, when you say to the Ribbono Shalom, this could change your life, Rabbi Yisai. When you daven for something, if you're saying, Ribbono Shalom, I want to do well, whatever it is, in learning, so that I could teach my children. Thinking about children, you're 18, you're 19, 20 years old, what do you think about children? I want to succeed to make my parents happy. I want to, Ribbono Shalom, be able to get this job so I can make money and give it to Staka, so I can do more chesed, so I have time for learning. All I've been doing for the last few months is looking for a job. I want that time, Ribbono Shalom. Not for me, so I can dedicate myself to you. That's a tzaddik. Even when we're praying for ourselves, where it's for a lofty purpose. When I'm doubting for a chol, it's not for me, it's for them. That's what tefillah is about. If a person's sick and he daven's for himself, he should say, Ribbono Shalom, the only reason why I want this is because I can't daven appropriately now. I'm not feeling well. I can't learn well. I want that to be part of it. And that's why the Torah tells us, Lenoyach Ishtai. Rashi says Lenoyach Ishtai literally means the opposite. He was next to her. They're on Har Moriah. He went one place, she went one place. But the Otzer Achaim says Lenoyach Ishtai means he davened Lenoyach for his wife. Because he wanted her to have the gift more than he wanted it. That's tefillah for someone else. That's what marriage, Rabbi Yisai, is all about. Have to give. I'm doing it for someone else. It's not me. I'm not buying my wife, which I'm not going to do, an anniversary gift. Because I always get it wrong. I'm not going to buy her an anniversary gift to make myself feel good. It's to make her happy. I'll just end with a beautiful story that is told here in one of the Svarim, Pinyimim on the Torah, with my father's gotten me like I think every edition, they come out every single year. I'll try to make it as quickly as possible. So, Tsar Nicholas I of Russia, which I know you guys learned about in history class, issued a horrible decree against Russian Jewry. The goal was to decimate the Jewish youth as they knew it, destroying the future of Judaism. All Jewish men from the age of 12 were sent into the Russian army for a minimum, I'm not exaggerating, of 25 years. The Russian army was not the American army. The Russian army made every effort to convert these souls to Christianity. Representatives of the government came into people's houses, kidnapped these kids from their parents. Devastating, heartbreaking sights, took them to Siberia. They were never heard from again. Thousands of them died as martyrs from disease. They treated them horribly. Many of them were baptized, forced to be Christian. However, there were these kedoshim that were known. They were tormented, but resisted conversion under any circumstances. And they were beaten because of it. And when they finally got out after 25 years, they were crippled, they were old. Pain, misery. They literally broke their bones and their spirit. But they were not able to break their spirits. These tzaddikim started their own communities, and now the new Tsar of Russia couldn't believe what Nicholas I did. He allowed them to establish their own shuls. And they were supported by the Tsar. It happened once that in the Tziv of Volozhin and Rabbi Yitzchak Elchanan Spector, one of the greatest gedolim of the generation, were sent on a delegation of rabbis to St. Petersburg to intercede on behalf of other things going on with Russian Jewry. Because it was an urgent matter, which was life and death, they had to travel during Aseret Yemei Teshuva, which they knew would make themselves in Russia for Yom Noraim and specifically for Yom Kippur. They would have to spend Yom Kippur in Russia. they found themselves in the shul of these Russian Jews, called the Ketanists. The congregation was about to start Kol Nidre, and one of the great rabbis offered to lead the service. However, they declined. They said, this old man sitting here, he's going to daven. Despite inhumane torture, he never succumbed to his oppressor. His loyalty to Hashem is unwavering. His commitment is unblemished. These great rabbis said, this delegation said, you're going to daven for the Amid, these broken men, old men with hardly a voice? Let one of our great Gedolim daven. And they saw this tortured soul, emaciated, diseased, come up to the podium to daven. As he approached the Aron Kodesh, he turned to the congregation and he said the following words, my friends, usually one's tefillah to Hashem has three things. People daven for sustenance. We say, Banai Chaya Mzoine, children, life, and sustenance. Regrettably, I'm not davening for that. We have plenty of food now that the new czar has granted us food for life. We're veterans of the army. I'm too sick, so I'm not getting married. And I'm not nervous of being drafted back in the army. Therefore, he says, my davening to you is one thing and one thing only. Yiskadel v'yiskadei shemei rabbah. To glorify the name of Hashem. That's all I'm here to do tonight. And you can imagine how that kaddish sounded. All these great rabbis very much understood what true tefillah was from that moment. Tears streaming down their faces, they cried as they said, Yehei Shmei Rabbah Mevarech Li'olam L'mei Amaya. It was the most moving Kol Nidre tefillah, says these great rabbis. That's called a pure tefillah. We should be zeiche to appreciate our tefillahs and understand the importance of tefillah and the importance of our own tefillah relying only on one person, Avichem Shebashamayim.